And turn to the responsive reading in the back, number 671. Number 671 this morning. And then if you will rise, and of course you will read the words in bold, and I will read the words that are not bold, and let us open our service this morning in this manner. Number 671 in the responsive reading section in the back of the hymnal. If you're there, say amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Would you bow with me in prayer this morning? Our great and most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for your amazing grace and your abundant love. Father, we thank you for the privilege in these days to be able to gather together here in thy house to praise your name, to sing our praises unto you, to be blessed by the musicians you have provided us with this morning. And, O Lord, may you bless their ministry abundantly more than we could ever ask, hope, or think unto us. Father, may your word, when it comes unto us this morning, encourage us and equip us and give us hope to be all that we can be. For our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is greatly to be praised, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. That worked well,
right? Please, number 10, how great thou art. Thank you.
Good to be in God's house this morning. Good to be alive.
Next song, you're going home. Like I said, there's anything I can remember as a cougar. We'd go over on the mountain. Sometimes, you know, you can sort of lose your way. You get off the path. Nothing like going home. There's a home that's waiting us. Oh, we're at the top of the hill. Can you see the lights of home?
Thank you.
Tammy asked us to sing this for, especially for her daddy Paul, Juanita. So we're going to sing a song. On the far side banks of Jordan. But anyway, especially to you all, but it's for all of us.
I believe my steps are growing wearier each day till I've got a turn. This old world has seen make me won't stay, and if regret is leaving me behind, if it proves to be this will that I'm the first to go, somehow I'm fulfilling it will be. When it comes to time to travel,
God is so good. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and be finding the book of Acts. Acts, the very first chapter in the book of Acts. And by golly, as I get up here this morning, I don't know if they Didn't think you could hear me or not, but I am armed to the teeth with microphone this morning. You have your Bibles open, if you will rise as we honor the Lord on this Lord's Day with the reading of His Word. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. May the word of our Lord be blessed. Would you bow with me in prayer? Almighty Father, again we thank You for this glorious day. The message of heaven is clearly seen in the music that has been sung this morning. O Lord, may our hearts turn heavenward, and at the same time may they be on our world today. And Lord, You have called us. You have given us a most holy commandment. You have said that we are to take as many with us when we go as we can. O Lord, help us to be the witnesses that You have called us to be. Let us serve You. Let us serve You faithfully. Let us do all that You would have us to do, that we might be all that You would have us to be. In Christ's holy name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated this morning. God has given us an incredible book called the Bible. He's given us an incredible word. And family and friends, as we begin to think about this text, the question is asked of our Lord's apostles, His disciples. This is the way it's framed, Acts 1:11. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Had Jesus not told them He was going to be with the Father? Had Jesus not told them He was coming again? Had Jesus not commanded them in just three short verses earlier to be His witnesses? Yes, He had. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Have you ever given thought? Why the question? Why are they standing here gazing up into the heavens? They'd been given a task. They'd been given a job to do. They were, as Jesus said in Luke 19:13, to occupy till I come. That's the section in Luke where Jesus is giving out the talents, and as He dispenses them, He says to them, occupy until I come. And Jesus has promised that He is coming again. Do you believe that, church? Is your ear attuned? Are you waiting for the trumpet sound? Are you waiting for the shout to come? Jesus is coming again. And the question for today's church is, do we, the church, believe it to be true? And if we do, the same question could be asked of the church today. Why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? Since many Christians seem to be just dawdling along in their walk with Christ with nary a care for the soul that is yet lost, for their eternal destiny, for all of those who do not know Christ. Where is the urgency of heart gone to find and to use every available means we have to reach the lost for Christ? Where is the mobilization of the Lord's army? Where, oh, where have the Christian soldiers gone? Have we, the church, forgotten what Jesus has asked us to do? Have we become so comfortable in our homes and in our lifestyle that we just simply do not care to be risen from our comfort? What Jesus has commanded here is that we are to be about His being His disciples. Have we forgotten that just as Jesus told His apostles to be His witnesses, that so too has He called us to be His witnesses? Oh, friend, you've been given a treasure in an earthen vessel. This treasure is the Holy Spirit of God that is living inside of you. Whenever you gave your heart to Jesus, the Bible says that you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise who now lives inside of you. And if you have the promise of eternity, is there anyone you would consign not to have the promise that you have? And I know the church answer, every church person would say, oh no, I wouldn't do that. Then why are we living as if we would? Where is the urgency? Look with me again at Acts 1 and 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, a simple question we could ask ourselves this morning is this: are you an Acts 1:8 Christian? Are you on mission for Jesus Christ? Family and friends, are you about the Father's business in your day-to-day living? And what about us as His church here at Green Valley? Are we really about our Father's business? Or have we become satisfied, comfortable, lazy, and not wanting to be challenged anymore, not wanting to believe God for the greater things? Time is growing short, and we do not know the day or the hour when our Lord will come, but we are. No, He is coming. I pray that you're living every day in the expectation of the trumpet sound and the shout from heaven which says, come up hither. One day we're going home. As the song said, one sweet day, we just gonna fly away. Oh, who are we gonna take with us when we go? Time is growing short. And when He comes, remember He said, occupy till I come. When He comes, will He find this church, which is made up of individuals like me and you, will He find us being faithful about being about the Father's business? Or will He find us just being faithful about our own business? Oh, I pray He'll find us being faithful, reaching souls for the kingdom as His church. You see, the church is one body, and it's made up of many parts, and each part is necessary to the success of accomplishing our mission that the Lord has given us to do. And so this morning, God wants us to know something. We aren't there yet. Oh, we can sing about heaven, amen, but we are not there yet. But praise the Lord, one day soon, we're going home. That's a solid fact, friend. That's based on the truth of the Word of God. Our blessed hope is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. It's a stated fact. One day soon, we're a-going home. Hallelujah. Amen. Heaven's just around the bend, but we have not arrived home yet. There is work to be done. And it is a comprehensive call that God has given to us to reach the ends of the earth with a message of His so great salvation. For the message of Acts 1:8 is that all, regardless of age, need to be living as witnesses for Christ and seeking to share the gospel call to the ends of the earth. Think about this. There are many people here this morning, and God has not given us all the same circle of influence. He has designed that wherever you are to be the circle of influence, the light and the salt of His gospel in the world to which He has given you. That circle of influence, friends, acquaintances, wherever you go, are you living as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? How sad it is, friends, that so many church people believe that we only need to take care of home. They claim mission starts at home, and you know what? They're right. But where, family and friends, does the Bible state mission spreading the gospel stops at home? Many people who sit in a church just like ours are willing to take care of home, but they have no heart for those outside of home. But Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, that's home, and in all Judea, that's our state, and in Samaria, that's our nation, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, our church has a wonderful history. I love history. You know that. I share lots of history with you. Do you know that our church has a wonderful history of reaching out through missions giving and sending people away on mission? But our world is different now, isn't it? Since this pandemic has come upon us, we have had to seek other avenues and means to be obedient to our Lord's command. And my hope is that every member of this church shares the heart, the urgency of the hour for reaching people for Jesus Christ right now. Because time is hastening on. And soon, friend, very soon, Jesus is going to be here. Soon the trump will sound and the shout will come, and we'll meet our Lord together in the air. I used this the other night when Hunter was here at church. I said, can you just imagine me and Hunter over in the Family Life Center playing basketball, and I pass the ball to Hunter, and the minute he catches it, the shout comes, the trumpet sounds, and we're in the air. I can tell you what he's going to say. Pastor, that's the greatest pass I ever received in my life. But then what? What happens when we go? What about those who are not yet saved? Have you ever given thought to that? What about those who are not yet saved and who could have been saved if we have had understood and obeyed the urgency of the hour? I can tell you what those left behind will say. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. How on earth would you know what they're going to say? Because my Bible tells me so. Jeremiah 8 and 20, this is what men are going to say. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not yet saved. Could you imagine being one of them? One of those who's left behind, one of those who is not saved. How sad it is that we seem to be living at a time when many church folks no longer see soul winning as important. This is the day of the Laodicean church, the time when many are no longer hot or cold, just lukewarm about the importance of the gospel message of salvation. I can tell you, if God were to open your eyes and you were to see the fires of hell, you'd be praising God for all eternity that Jesus Christ lives inside of you and you're a going home. Oh, my friends, ask yourself this. Do I want to see souls reached and won for the gospel? And if you said yes to that, let me ask you, what are you willing to do to reach them? What are you willing to do to reach them? And what would you be willing to do if you would not know this side of heaven the results of your efforts? Would you still be in? Are you still willing to be a part of getting the gospel out? The command of our Lord is clearly seen, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now we know that the day in which we're living in is a very unsettling time, is it? But this unsettled nature of our world today only testifies to the urgency of the hour, and all that's happening is pointing to the soon return of Jesus Christ. You say, how do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. Friend, if you've never read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, do you realize that you're missing out on one of the greatest blessings that God has given? God tells us in His Word about our day. He tells us everything that's going on right now. He tells us what's going to happen. The only thing we don't know is the hour He's coming, but we do know He's coming. And all that's happening is pointing to the soon return of Jesus Christ, and the call of the hour is to be His witnesses, and that call is more urgent now than at any hour that you and I have ever lived. Now, I don't know how old Aiden is. Aiden's probably in his 20s. But he's been around a while now, 2 decades at least. How much more time does he have? I don't know. I've been around six decades in a few years. How much time I have left, I don't know. And then there's old George over there, and he's so old we can't even talk about him, but he's still here. And he still needs to be reaching people for Jesus Christ. Amen. He doesn't need to become petrified. He needs to get on fire for Jesus. Say hallelujah, because you know I'm saying it right. See, in our word, our Lord makes a definitive statement, and it isn't presented as optional. He says, but ye shall receive power. And the only way the Bible teaches that we can receive the power necessary is to be obedient to our Lord's commands. One of the great commands we all know, Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so, friend, there is no disputing, no arguing with God. We know we are to go, we are to reach, we are to teach, and we have our Lord's promise of power. He says we will receive that power. How? By obeying what He says. You know, we can't live this Christian life in our own strength, and many people try to live it that way. And, oh, friend, if that's how you're trying to live the Christian life, you need to come to the altar. You need to repent of that. You need to get the flesh out and let the Spirit go to work. Say amen. Did the disciples do this? Did they obey our Lord? They had to be startled. Why, men, do you stand here gazing up into heaven? Jesus is coming again. In other words, get to work. Occupy. Do what He said. Be about the Lord's business. Did the disciples do this? With a resounding yes, we can shout they did. They went and they prayed and they waited for the promised Holy Ghost to come upon them. And when they had received the promised power, Peter went into the streets of Jerusalem and he began to preach the gospel. And when Peter preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 souls were saved. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. 3,000 dead men walking, headed toward the fires of hell, were saved and brought to life evermore because of the obedience of His disciples. But have you ever stopped to think about these disciples? Their lives before the promised power came. And do you know, if you stop and think about it, do you want to know what we find? We find there wasn't a leader among them. Not one leader among them. We find that they were fearful. Just like a lot of God's people today, fearful. And we find that they lack faith. Just like a lot of God's people today, lack faith. And they were more likely to back down from an argument than to step up and stand up for Jesus Christ. This was a group of men that scattered in fear the night that Christ was arrested. One of them even denied His relationship with Jesus when confronted about it. And yet when they obeyed, in other words, when they turned from the flesh and they turned to the Spirit, and they repented and they obeyed. You know what we find? We find them. emboldened to stand for God,
emboldened to do whatever it took
to share the gospel message. Now, I don't know if you've ever read this whole book of Acts. I pray that you have. And I would encourage you to do so. But if you have, then you know that we see Peter, for example, preaching the gospel in the temple and going to prison for it. And still, when put in prison, he refused to back down from his beliefs. The Holy Spirit empowered these men to stand up and to do things that were unimaginable before Christ ascended. They proclaimed the gospel. They healed people. They performed miracles. They cast out demons, fulfilling the Lord's command. They were witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea, and to the ends of the earth. The disciples fulfilled their mission, friends, as Jesus commanded them. But I want you to know there was a price. I don't know if you've ever thought about the price these men paid. I don't know if you've ever thought about the price that we might have to pay. We certainly don't know what the cost might be. But there was a price. And I want you to know this morning that there will be a price for you and I if we seek to do what God has called us to do. We are called to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto our God. And we all know that the word sacrifice means there is going to be a cost. Have you ever stopped to even consider the cost? I'm sure by now you've heard of the word martyr. A martyr is someone who is killed for the sake of a cause. Many of the disciples ended up as martyrs, meaning they died standing for what they believed and standing strong in the name of Jesus Christ. We look at our nation today, we've never, ever had to stop or even think about or even consider that. But this is a different day. Amen. What used to happen over there can now happen right here. This is the world in which we are living in today. Make no mistake, my friend, it's something we're going to have to take seriously because of the hatred that is taking place in our nation today toward Jesus Christ. Did you know that the Greek word for witness in Acts 1:8 is where we derive the English word martyr? You see, these men became so empowered and so emboldened that they gave witness for Christ even to the point of death. You say, well, I'm willing to do what I can. I'm willing to do what I can, but I'm not willing to go to that extreme. Whew. Let's consider something, friend. If the disciples had not been willing to lose their lives for Christ, if they had not been willing to go to the ends of the earth to share the gospel with all nations, would we even have the Bible today? Do you think we would be sitting here gathered in a place called church if they had not been obedient to our Lord's command? Would there have even been a church in Rome, the world power at that time, if not for Paul and the disciples? What does the future hold for humankind if we are not willing to go and to be his witnesses? What hope is there without Jesus Christ in this world? Centuries before Peter and Paul, King David had a group of men, a group of men who were his personal bodyguards. And what stood out about these men was their action. They were men who had done similar things to what David had done in the slaying of Goliath. Could you imagine facing a giant 9 feet tall and running at him without a weapon of war, but just a sling and a stone? But when David ran in the power of David in God's name, and he slung his little sling, and he let that stone go, it found a home that knocked the giant all the way down to the earth. I want to tell you something. Wanting God is a majority. One person on fire for Jesus Christ can shake up the world. Will you be that person in your world today? Will you be on fire for God? Will you shake up your world? Will you say, Lord, I don't know what the future holds, but whatever it holds, oh, Lord, I'm willing, let use me. It said of one man in particular, a man by the name of Benaniah, that he was a doer of great deeds. And like these men, the disciples became doers of great deeds. Jesus told them that they would do greater things than he had done, because he was soon going back to his Father in heaven. And in the same way, we should be doers of great deeds as Jesus' disciples. We should be doing great deeds in God's name. We should be obedient to our Lord's command, and we should be his witnesses, and we should not be concerned with our comfort. Oh, that's easy to say, but it's hard to live. Amen? We should be concerned with even our lives. Since heaven is going to be our eternal home, have you ever stopped to consider this question? What can man really do with me? What can man really do to me? If heaven is my home, man can't do anything to me. Oh, they can kill my body, but they cannot take my soul. My soul is heaven bound because it's been heaven born. Can you say the same thing this morning? You know, I got to thinking about this past week. I hope you'll think about it as well. But you know, I got to thinking, I don't need to put much stock in this old body of mine. After all, this old body's been decaying for a long time now. It gets a little bit weaker with age. I can't do some of the things I used to do. And for those of you who are young and sitting here this morning, you're going to discover that if the Lord allows as time goes on. We shouldn't put much stock in these things we carry around. And I got to thinking a little bit more about that, and I thought, you know something, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and all they're really good for is worm food. Once we're gone, we don't even take these bodies home to heaven with us. These are corruptible bodies, but God says, I'm going to give you a new body, and it's going to be incorruptible, and it's going to last for eternity. I don't know about you, friend. I'm looking forward to having that incorruptible body that'll never fade away. Oh, what a blessing is in store for us. God has promised, and God is faithful. We'll be given a brand new body, one that's going to last forever. And the more I thought about this, the more I thought, you know, too many people today spend so much time worrying about the body instead of obeying the Master. We need to get straight in our own life. Obey the Master, and he'll take care of your soul. Oh, your soul is all that matters. That's that person who lives inside of you. Your soul is all that matters, and Jesus died on the cross to save your soul. But you know what? He didn't just die on the cross to save your soul, did he? He died on the cross to save all souls. Red and yellow, black and white, oh, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Friend, do you love the little children of the world? Are you willing to go to whatever length it would take to reach someone for Jesus Christ? You know, if someone shared their testimony with you and you came to know Christ, say, for example, of some dear Christian brother, or perhaps a man like Paul, or a man like any one of you, put your own name in there. But you went and you shared the gospel. And on that time that you shared the gospel, someone got the message. And they humbled themselves and they prayed and they received Christ as their Lord and Savior. Do you want to know what they're going to be doing for all eternity? They're going to be thanking Jesus for sending you. Oh, I'm so thankful I had a godly daddy. Oh, he still is a godly man. I'm so thankful I had a godly mama that taught me about Jesus Christ. I got saved because of the testimony of my daddy. Oh, you know what I'm going to be doing when I get home to heaven? I'm going to be praising Jesus, and I'm going to be thanking daddy. Oh, daddy, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sharing the word with me. Our soul is all that matters. As you look around your world today, wherever God has placed you, don't see people for who they are. you see them as precious souls in need of Jesus Christ today. It'll change your whole outlook, won't it? Listen to me. The disciples shared the gospel because the Holy Spirit had given them the power to do so. We have nothing to fear. We just need to share it in the power of Jesus' name. And if we obey, the Spirit will give us all the power we need, all the resources we need, both now and forever. Let me ask you a question, though, as we think about this morning. Is there any verse in the Bible? Because I know, without a doubt, some folks are uncomfortable. Is there any verse in the Bible that says, because you're saved, yet if you're uncomfortable, well, you're excused from duty? Now, you know there's not. There's no verse. Many times in the Christian life, we're going to be uncomfortable because God's going to challenge us. God accepts us as we are, but He will not leave us where we are. God wants to accomplish so much through us. The power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you can overcome all your fears if you will just obey the Master. You know what the Bible says, or what the song says? What have I to fear? What have I to dread? Leaning on the everlasting. There is no fear when we're leaning on Jesus. Amen. You know, Francis Chan said, the flip side of fearing that God won't show up is fearing that He will. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. God is with you, friend, wherever you go. He has shown up in the form of His Holy Spirit who lives inside of you, and it is a great thing. Jesus said regarding this, in John 16, 7 and 8, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and the righteousness and judgment. It is to our advantage that Christ has gone away and that we can live in the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has come down. The power of the Holy Spirit is what will enable us to be witnesses of who Christ is. Listen to me, if you claim to be a believer in Jesus Christ, you are called and you have been given the command to be one of His witnesses. Family and friends, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that we are living in an evil and a depraved world at the present hour. And the number of lost people today is growing exponentially faster than the number of those who are being saved. The world is smaller than it has ever been because of technology. Do you realize we have jets and planes? You can get up on a plane and be on the other side of the world in just a matter of hours. Imagine if the disciples had only decided, I'm just going to stay here in Jerusalem and I'm going to do church here and I'm just going to be comfortable right here. This is where I am. That's all I'm going to do. Whew. I'm so glad they went out of Jerusalem. Would we even have the Bible today? We have the gift of knowing the truth about God because these men relied on the power of the Holy Spirit, and they left their familiar surroundings, and they went out as witnesses for Jesus Christ. We have the ability to go out and be witnesses to that truth. Thank God for His provision in providing our church with the ability to live stream our services. Thank God for His provision in providing our church the ability to one call every one of our members with a daily devotional. Thank God for the mission giving of this church. Thank God for the missionaries who have gone from this church. Thank God for the social media platform He has given us in this church. You realize in many ways God has empowered Green Valley in the last year with means that we did not previously have before. Why has God done this? Because I believe the heartbeat of this church is to run out that door and be witnesses for Jesus Christ, to share the gospel message. We can thank God for all that He has done. Amen. And if we stop and consider what God has done already, then you know what? We know that we can trust God for all the provision we're going to need in the future. The question is, will we be obedient to His leading? Will we trust God for the results of our television ministries? We are prayed for and hoped for radio and by ministries to reach souls for the kingdom in this coronavirus world. Will we do all we can to help save souls from the fires of hell? The call of the hour is for us right here, right now, to live out and to live in the power of the Holy Spirit and to be His witnesses. Do you realize that sitting right here in this church right now in your body is dynamite waiting to be used? Dynamite waiting to be put into action as a witness for God to use if you are willing to answer the call. Missionary Lottie Moon said, how many there are who imagine that because Jesus paid it all, they need pay nothing, forgetting that the prime object of their salvation was that they should follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ in bringing back a lost world to God. Family and friends, that's the mission. Will you walk in the footsteps of Jesus? Will you give yourself as Christ did, a living sacrifice, one that is holy and acceptable unto God? Does that mean you'd have to be a martyr? Who knows? Does it mean it might cost you some popularity? More than likely. Does it mean you might have to find a different circle of friends? Quite possibly. It's going to cost you something. I'm not going to give you a snow job and tell you it won't cost you anything. Being a witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ costs. But these disciples were willing to pay the cost. They were willing to do whatever it took, trusting in God for all of the resources. And that's our call. Because too often we just trust in us. We look at what we have, we check out this, we check out that, and we say, well, you know, I don't have this, I don't have that, I can't possibly do it. My friend, with God, we can do anything. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's just not a Bible verse. That's something to believe. We can do all things through Christ. To strengthen us. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word unto us today. We thank you for the blessing. And Lord, we thank you for the challenge. Father, in these times in which we're living, being a witness of the gospel is becoming more and more costly all of the time. Lord, there are groups today throughout the world who have been for a while and who are more vocal now than ever before at trying to silence the message of the gospel. But, oh, Father, you have called us to be obedient. You have called us to be your witnesses, and there is no getting around that. You have called us not to rely upon our own resources, but to trust you, because, Father, you have need of nothing. You own the cattle on a thousand hills. You have all of the resources that we'll ever need. Lord, the great call of the hour is for us just to trust in this day in which we're living, to forsake all and trust Christ. Forsaking all, I trust Him. That's faith. And we know that faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Lord, but without faith it is impossible to please you. And so, Lord, this morning we come, and I pray for myself, and I pray for my wife, and I pray for every deacon, every trustee, every Sunday school teacher, whatever office people hold, and for all of those who are here today who may not hold an office in this church or a position. But Lord, as the body of Christ, we are one. And Lord, as we think about being one in Christ, may you give every member in this body, every visitor to this church this morning, a heart's desire to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Oh, may we shine the gospel light in the world in which you send us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.